Welcome to the Gamers Inn. Come on in, pull up a chair next to the fire. It looks like you've had a long journey. I'm your host, Jocelyn, and joining me, as always, is my co-host, Ryan.
Hello, everybody. How are we today?
Pretty fantastical, except for the fact that it's like 11:15 in the morning, and I don't do mornings, so...
It's only morning for another 45 minutes. You couldn't just power through?
Don't we have this conversation every time we have to record in the mornings? And every time my answer is the same. If it's a holiday, then I don't actually have to wake up until, like, 6 p.m.
Well then
and
wait.
That's when the gaming begins.
So what time do you call it a night if you're waking up not in the morning at all?
I don't know, like 3 or 4. Depends on if I've got a really good game going on or not.
Oh, man. I miss that. I only get that from time to time, but, like, something about staying up super late to play a game is one of the... And, again, this is going to sound weird to whoever doesn't play video games, but if you don't play video games, why are you listening, right? There's something about that that's just so great about just having a game and just, like, looking at the clock and saying, shit, it's 5 in the morning. I don't know. Feels good.
Yeah, I haven't had a game like that since probably Skyrim. Oh no, that's a lie. Mass Effect definitely did that to me too.
Yeah, Mass Effect did do that.
Anyways. Anything new going on with you before we move on?
I don't know. Not really. I tried to get back into Twilight Princess, but it's just been sitting on my desk ever since we had that wonderful Zelda episode.
Oh yes, we should thank John again. He was a fabulous guest. That was a fun episode. It actually, I'm pretty sure it has the most downloads of any of our episodes so far. So, congratulations to John the Icon Master for driving up our numbers.
Indeed. We need controversy to drive up our numbers. What could we do? Something. I don't know.
We're not talking about Mass Effect 3 anymore.
No. I was thinking, like, we could... I don't know. Yeah, you're right. We can't talk about Mass Effect 3 anymore.
What we can do is quickfire news.
Yay.
Ryan?
Starting off with me. Genova Chen, creative director of... What?
Nothing.
Laughing at me. It's a me,
yep.
Ryan. Woohoo. Genova Chen, creative director of that game company, announced that Journey is the fastest selling PSN game to date and that its wonderful soundtrack will be available for purchase separately through PSN and the iTunes Store April 10th, which is coming up fast.
Orcs Must Die. Oh, man.
You know
I am not a morning person.
I think this is more okay. My fault, the way I wrote these. Like, I don't even talk about the topic until halfway through. It's kind of like, oh, is she going to say, is she not? I don't know. Sorry. Go.
Okay. Orcs Must Die 2 has been announced. Robot Entertainment announced that a sequel to their hit third-person action tower defense game will get a sequel this summer. Orcs Must Die 2 will feature a new upgrade system, new traps, new enemies, and co-op action.
Indeed. BioWare announces Mass Effect 3 DLC plans. BioWare has unveiled their plans to address the outrage at the Mass Effect 3 ending with Extended Cut DLC. It will help answer some questions and give more closure to fans. And the best part, it's free and will be available this summer, hopefully early summer.
Civ 5, Gods and Kings gets a release date. Remember that Civilization expansion title, that Gods and Kings that we were all salivating over a month ago? Jesus! Well, we now have a release date, June 19th. Book your summer vacation accordingly, gamers. I'm writing these from now on. Your sentence structure is awkward.
I think it's fine, but...
All right, so we're going to skip news today and go straight into what we're playing, because our news is going to tie into our topic of the week. So, Ryan, what have you been playing this week?
Hero Academy, big update. I mean, it's weird. We haven't really talked about what we've been playing for the last few episodes, but Hero Academy seems to be at the top of our list every single week.
Every week. Did you get the tribe update?
I did. I did purchase the tribes team and been playing, like, just similar to how I did it with the dwarves, just, like, played a bunch of random matches with the tribe, and they're interesting. As always, whenever a new team gets released, you're always like, oh my god, these seem super strong, but it's more or less just you using a new team and everybody else not knowing how to, you know, beat them.
Yeah.
So I am finding most tribe game I'm playing are against other tribes, and everyone's kind of trying to figure out what to do, and there's no real, like,
strategies
out yet. So
yep, I'm finding the same thing, and you know, some of the things, like the dude that can explode the dead guys, that's awesome.
Yeah, there's a lot of they do a lot of unique moves that really are very different from the rest of the teams, in the sense that, like, for example, the one dude, he does extra damage to people over 50% health, and as soon as they go below 50% health, it's an instant KO, which is great. Works, it's amazing for just taking out those big, like, knights who have all the armor on, and you just kind of go up to them with one of these orc chieftain or whatever and slam on them, and it's a lot easier to get them down. And they have a chain healing guy, which is really cool, so you can, like, heal through guys.
It's like the wizard, but you do it to your own team, and it's healing. It's actually pretty cool. The thing that I noticed in, I think it was my first game with the tribe, because I actually haven't completed any tribe games yet, but was that you get, I don't know if it's a glitch or not, but you get more than one of your super units. Have you had that happen yet?
No, not yet.
Yeah, I got two in the first, like, what do you call it, roll or whatever, like, of my first six things, I had two super units, and I was like, this seems like a glitch. But they're also, I find they're really easy to kill.
The whole tribes or just the super unit?
Just the whole, the tribe as a whole, they're really easy to kill. Even when you put the, like, I don't think they have magic resistance helmets like all the other teams do.
No, they have, like, yeah, they only have the attack and the spike shield. They don't have, yeah.
So, yeah, they're actually, even though some of their attacks are overpowered, they have almost no defense. So, I mean, it means you have to be, I don't know, it's kind of hard to figure out how to play with them, if you should be super aggressive or if you should be, like, kind of laid back, because, like, one or two shots from any of the other teams and pff, you're done. So, yeah, we'll have to see. And the AoE spell thingy, that big wave, that's kind of cool.
It works out really well, because it's, you know, the way most people play is they, you know, they have one super unit on whatever race they have, and they kind of, like, move them in, do a bunch of attacks, and move them out of the way. So it's really hard to kill them, but with that, like, blue orb thing, you can kind of, like, pull guys out of cover, you know? So rather than having to have your chieftain walk a bunch of steps, you can, like, pull one dude forward. It actually pulls, like, a whole row forward, but I think it works
well.
Really,
if
well,
if you throw it in between, like, if there's, like, a bunch of dudes and then a row of nothing and then a bunch more dudes, if you put it right in the middle, it'll push the one row of dudes back and pull the other row forward. Like, it's like a big tidal wave going both ways from wherever you drop it. So it pushes people back and pulls people forward, depending on what side of the wave they're on. It's really cool. I can't wait to use it against Chad, because he does that stupid stacks all his units on his end of the thing and makes you come over. Oh, I'm going to tidal wave him good.
Yeah.
Except that I'm not allowed to use the tribe in our Hat for Poop tournament, which I think we should probably update, unless you have more tribe things you want to talk about.
Well, I was just going to say, I mean, it is related to the Hat tournament. There was no ruling against playing on the iPad, so I've been playing on the iPad, which, again, no real significant advantage. But it is cool, like, having it on a bigger screen and kind of seeing, like, you get to appreciate the animations a little better, and just see the way everything moves. And it's just, you know, it's a bigger screen. It's twice the size, and I'm really enjoying playing on the iPad, but I am still playing on the phone as well. But really cool, and I am looking forward to the Android update, because I know we have a lot of fans of the show that have Android phones. Lou especially, who's waiting for Hero Academy.
Have they given a date for the Android update yet?
No, but they've all but confirmed it on, like, when they announced the project in January. So I think it's, like, and it's funny, I even said this just speaking out loud to Ashley, my girlfriend, about this, and she has an Android phone, and we've been playing Draw Something, and I said to her, it's like, oh, they announced that it's out on the iPad, but no Android support yet. And she's like, well, then that would probably be next, right? Because really what they've been doing is they've been releasing a team and a major update. So the first one was dwarves and game center support. And then the next one was tribes and iPad. So the next one is probably like mystery team, which because we don't have an outline, if you go to the teams page, it just
I know. Mark. That was the first thing I did was go to the teams page to see what the next one would be.
So it sounds like they haven't really planned that far ahead. So maybe next they're just working on the Android version and that's it. So I see them releasing more teams because they put in extra work on the team selection page. You'll see that if you start a game and you select a team, there's like a scroll bar now. Mm-hmm. So it'd be kind of weird for them to implement that feature yet not add more teams. And the game's doing really well, so.
Mm-hmm. All right, so our Hero Academy tournament for people on opposing podcasts is moving right along. So, Ryan, how are you doing in your games? Keep in mind, I have the spreadsheet open, so I know how you're doing, and I'm not pleased.
Why would I lie? Honestly, Chad had beaten me because, like you said, he's got this weird strategy, and it's not really an excuse. It's more just me not adapting fast enough because he gets his dudes all built up in a ball. Mm-hmm. And one of the ways to like combat that is to play the council. That's the only way you can combat that strategy the best way is with the council. You know, having a super strong mage, killing all his dudes, and then using a fireball rather than having to go in there and stomp individually.
Yeah.
But yeah, I did beat him on our third game, which I guess, you know, with, I guess the way the tournament works, the number of wins you have might help down the road. But anyways.
If there's a tie, yeah. Like, yeah. So for right now, well, actually, no, because I won my game, so it doesn't matter. But if two, because only two of us from the Gamers Inn are going to move on, and as we've mentioned before, Swick, who was a guest on our third episode, is our third chair for the tournament. So, but he's also losing. But anyway, so if, say, you and Swick were tied and, like, say you both just beat Peyton, well, if Swick doesn't win any games against Joel or Chad, but you have, then you move on.
Speaking of Peyton, I noticed in the document that we were supposed to initiate, but I have not gotten a move back yet. So
yes, neither have I, and we gave him shit yesterday on TCC for not making any moves. But yeah, because they were saying like, oh yeah, they were blaming us, and all the TGI people are supposed to be initiating games with Peyton, and I'm like, I did 10 days ago.
Well, to my defense, I did not know. Oh, I should have known, but I just found out recently, like by opening the document. But Joel actually sent me the document, and I noticed that he beat me in our first game, and then I beat him in our second game, and now we're on or maybe it's the other way around. Either way, it's 1-1, and we're in our third game now, and it's looking pretty. I don't want to say it looks to be in my favor because the gods up a high would be like, no, you will lose. But yeah, we're fighting it out to the death, and I believe he's a TCC guys are big fans of the council. You know, they
yes.
I don't know if they have any of the other teams, to be honest.
Joel has all the other team. No, he doesn't have the elves. He has the dwarves and the council. Chad has at least the dwarves and the council, but I think he has the elves too. But he rarely plays with them. And I think Peyton only has the council, but, yeah, Joel and I have completed two games and he beat me in both, which is very, very upsetting, but
you give me a hard time for losing my games. And then
I know.
I don't understand you.
I beat Chad.
We're
I
on
beat
the same
Chad.
Team.
Everyone should know I beat Chad, which was
good.
I'm
very glad.
Fight to deathy, but,
we're on the same team. We're supposed to be supportive. This is what TCC is trying to do. They're trying to get us to fight
they're
each other. I see what their plan is.
They're sneaky.
Yeah.
But
yeah, watching too much Game of Thrones.
Joel has beat me in two games, and so we are in our third game. But I feel pretty good about it, again, without jinxing myself.
No. Knock on wood. Well, don't knock on wood. You'll upset the mic.
He hasn't played. He hasn't made a move in a while. So I think he's sitting back going, oh, shit, oh, shit, oh, shit. She's going to beat me. Oh, shit. Smack talk.
One last thing on Hero Academy is that you mentioned a lot of people. I don't understand how. I mean, we play this game so much that for me, when a new team comes out, I'm like instantly buy it up. And it helps extend the game by about a month, you know. because the tribes, like I said last week, they caught me off guard. You know, I was still kind of like enjoying the three teams. And then when they add a new one, it's almost like, whoa, cool. You know, but speaking of which, when they add a new team, the previous one goes on sale. So if you haven't picked up the dwarves, they're on sale for 99 cents now.
But the elves are not, right? I can't see because I've already purchased them, but they're not on sale, right?
No, I believe they went back up to $1.99. But, I mean, $2 versus a dollar, they're worth the purchase.
Oh, for sure. I actually, now that I've played with them a lot more, I really enjoy the elves. Dwarves, still not so much. Every time, because I always pick random for my games. So every single time that I roll the dwarves, I'm like, oh, man, really? I don't know. I can't get into them.
Yeah, I'm finding the same thing. And I mean, they're all right, but I'm having some issues trying to win games with them.
Mm-hmm. All right. So what else have you been playing this week, Ryan?
We mentioned up in Quickfire News Journey, and I did actually pick that up, and that's kind of the reason I threw it up there, is that I played through Journey once, and it's similar to, I don't know if you've played the other obviously you haven't, but the other That Game Company games are sort of like these artistic experiments. They're more about developing an experience. So Flow is kind of this weird, like, eating game where you played like this bacteria that in order to progress through levels you had to eat bacteria in a certain order so you got bigger, and then as soon as you ate everything on the screen you'd go down the level. It was more like a tech experiment. It was one of the first PSN games. And then Flower was you playing this like weird wind, and you'd pick up these petals, and the whole point of the game was to like race through the levels picking up all the petals to move on. It was very beautiful.
Oh, that sounds cool.
Yeah, it's actually really cool. Journey is probably their most game, if that makes any sense. Like, it's got progression and levels, and you do more than just move around. You play this, it's very artistic, it's a beautiful game. Like, even if you could just go to YouTube and watch someone play it, or find a stream on Justin.tv.
I think I watched a trailer for it, and it did look really interesting. There's lots of, like, sand.
Yes. The sand tech in this game is amazing, and it's one of those few games.
Nerds.
Yes. Well, I mean, playing Flower, you'd say, wow, Flower, the grass tech is just amazing. And it really is, right? Because it's like, that's what half the game is. But with Journey, it's one of those few games where I'm just playing it on my TV and I'm just like, I'm stopping and I'm going, wow, that looks amazing. And you're moving the camera around. And so first, yes, it looks beautiful. You play this character, this robed character. There's no voice. There's no real kind of, the story is kind of you to interpret. It's kind of shown to you and not really explained.
Mm-hmm.
So I won't try to explain it. So you start off in this giant desert and you're navigating. It doesn't tell you where to go. The only thing you see in terms of like tutorial is, you know, push this to move, tilt your controller to move the camera, X to jump. Well, actually, you don't actually jump. You have this weird like cape, I guess I'll say, which grows in length as you find these like glyphs, and you charge your cape to jump. And when you jump, you kind of glide, and it's again, really hard to explain. You kind of have to see it, but that's how you jump. You have to find these charge places to charge your cape, and then you can like jump and glide. And the music's really good. Again, that's probably going to pick up the soundtrack. Maybe when I get that, we'll play it in the pre-show.
Cool.
And
so how long did it take you to play through?
It takes about 2 to 3 hours. It's a short game. It encourages multiple playthroughs, mainly based on like trophies and just to kind of see everything, because on your first playthrough you're really trying to just explore everything, and in the second playthrough, which I wanted to do before we recorded, but I'll do for next week, is kind of just to kind of, and then on your second playthrough you can kind of like try to find all the glyphs and, you know, experience the game at a slower pace rather than just trying to get through it. But the cool thing about it is the movement in the game. When you're on these sand dunes, right, and you kind of like instantly convert into a slide. And it's just really smooth. So whenever you're on this incline, your character just instantly starts to surf down the sand.
Cool.
It's really cool. And the other really cool part about it is that there's multiplayer. It's a co-op game, but not in the sense of you get a buddy, you join a lobby, and you start a game. It's all seamless and random. So when you go into a game, you'll off in the distance, you'll see this dude, and it's another one of you, and it's another player playing the game. And you can kind of approach him, and then you can move through the journey together. And there's no communication besides a hey button, is how they describe it. And really what it is you tap X, and your character will do this little beep and show a symbol. If you hold it down really long, you'll do this, like, AOE hey, where it's like, hey! And that's how you communicate. So, like, I'm going through the game, and everybody looks the same. The only differentiating feature in these people you're playing with is the symbol, which I didn't notice until the very end of the game when you beat it. And after the credits, they show, on your journey, here were your companions. And there's, like, 8 PSN names with different symbols. And you're like, wow, I did not think I played with 8 different people. But it's that seamless. So, like, for example, if I pause the game and walk to get, like, a drink, you would see my character sit down. And if the guy chose to wait for me, he could. Or he could just move on, in which he would disappear from my game, and when I came back and started playing, I would probably run into somebody else. And it's really interesting because it removes that whole, you know, 14-year-old stereotype of the dude yelling at me. Until you get at the very end, which I'm not going to take credit for, the Giant Bombcast, they were talking about this game, and they said at the very end it kind of really, like, shatters the glass in the sense that you see these PSN names, and it's like... Dude for Life 64, and, you know, just really, like, you know, you see those really bad gamer tags online. And I'm not sure, I know if I try to come up with one, I'm just going to make one that's probably wouldn't make it past the censors, so I'm not going to try. But there's those really borderline ones where it's like, oh, God, what an idiot. Why would you name yourself Gangsta Boy 69 or something, you know?
Yeah.
It's a really interesting experience.
Worth picking up then, if you have a PlayStation, because it is an exclusive title, right. Which is why I have not played it.
It's PlayStation exclusive, $15. It's worth it. It's worth it. It sucks that it really sucks that I couldn't say.
Okay, dude, is it worth it or not? Yes or no?
It's worth it, but I'm trying to explain why people might not like it in terms of, you know, it is a single player game. It just so happens that people jump into your game from time to time. So you can't, like, set it up to, like, play with... Like, the great thing about co-op is that sometimes you can set co-op up to be really awesome. Like Portal 2. You set it up with a friend, you get some voice chat, and you're going to have a blast. With this game, it removes that opportunity. I can't say, Jocelyn, I want to play Journey with you tonight. Let's set it up. It's all random, so you can't... So that's why it's more a single-player experience, because really I can't force it to be a perfect co-op experience with, like, a friend of mine. That's the only downside I've seen to the game, but really it shouldn't be a downside because it's just not the way the game is designed. And
well, exactly. It's cool not. Experience. It doesn't sound like it's made for you to sit and talk to your friends. It's meant to be more of a pretty spiritual type journey. Journey.
Well,
so. You know, they don't want you to sit there and chat and, you know, not pay attention to what's going on and not experience the game for how they meant it to be experienced, I think, so.
Exactly. Yeah, definitely worth picking up, and the soundtrack is definitely going to be worth probably the $10 or whatever it's going to be on iTunes. I will be picking it up for sure.
Fabulous. So we have also both been playing Mass Effect 3 multiplayer, which since I've finished the game, I'm just doing for fun. And it is still fun because we've been playing mostly with gamers and fans. So it's been fun because, you know, you don't have all the crazy random people yelling at you. Although we have met some, as I've mentioned on previous podcasts, we have met some really awesome people when we only have 3 players. But they're awesome. because I can't hear them talk. They're just, like, really good at the game, so it's fun. But we use the, when we're playing on Xbox, we use the, whatchamacallit, party chat.
Yeah.
So I can only hear, if I'm in a party with Ryan and Lou, I can only hear Ryan and Lou, even if there's a fourth person playing with us in multiplayer. So it's awesome. It's probably frustrating for them, but awesome for me.
Yeah, the cool thing about the multiplayer, and I think it's the reason we keep coming back to it, is we played on Sunday last weekend where there was the event going on.
Right.
And this weekend is actually a new event where they have a 25% experience bonus. I don't know if there's a goal. I think it's just play a game this weekend for 25% bonus. So we should definitely set that up again. Not right now.
But I want to play right now. 25% bonus.
Well, you can play right now, but...
Is it on... Sorry, do you know if it's on, like, Friday through Monday, or if it's just Saturday, Sunday?
Oh, that's a good point. It starts today, but I don't know whether it starts, like, today later,
mm-hmm.
you know? Because it's weird. We're in long weekend mode, so it's kind of like today's first Saturday, tomorrow's second Saturday, and then Sunday's third Saturday. That's the way I always look at it. Because Sunday's always the day where you have to wake up and go to work the next day.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. I know it ends like Monday, 6 a.m.
Okay. So then it's a regular weekend thing then probably. It probably goes from about 6 p.m. Friday, so today, until 6 a.m. Monday.
Yeah, I don't know if you guys, even if you played in the last few weekends, you need to remember to log into your Mass Effect multiplayer and collect your rewards because they do have an expiry date on them.
They do?
Yes.
I didn't actually manage to promote one last weekend. I was so sad.
But we met the goal, so you'll still get the one a victory pack, I believe. Or the commendation pack. I don't know.
I don't feel very victorious.
So probably the commendation pack. I think the victorious packs is only for those who, you know, accomplished.
One?
Yeah.
Accomplished something? Yeah, you can say that.
Well, you didn't promote one character?
No.
Oh. Well, that's fine.
Because I was trying to do two, so I played my one character up to 19, and then I switched to my other character that was down. Do you remember my Vanguard that I was, like, cursing its life? Yeah, I played that character all the way up to, like, 16, because I was hoping to do two, because then you got the bonus pack thing for promoting two characters, and then so that just meant that I didn't do either one of them. It was a bad strategy. I wasn't thinking.
But we had fun.
Yes, we did. I had tons of fun. We played for, like, I don't even know, five hours or something?
Yeah. That's what Val was saying. For sure.
But it was fabulous. We should do it again.
So I just did a quick fact check, and it starts at 6 p.m. yesterday.
So it is happening right now.
And the cool thing is they include the whole long weekend, and it goes till Tuesday. So you'll get 25% bonus from now until Tuesday morning. So that's awesome. I got to say, when I was playing Gears of War 3, mind you, it's an American game, so I probably can't fault them for this. But on the long weekend for Thanksgiving, Canadian Thanksgiving, sorry, Americans, they didn't have it on the Monday, which I was kind of bummed about because I was so busy with family stuff. And then the only day I had to myself was actually Monday. Thanksgiving. So.
Yeah.
Weird. But yeah, Mass Effect multiplayer, still a lot of fun. And I'm going to say it. I get bored playing without people I know now. Whereas before I could kind of keep going, but,
we've spoiled you.
Exactly. And, I'm really looking forward to more content because it is.
Mm-hmm.
I've never played a multiplayer game this long. It's starting to get a bit stale.
Yeah, see, I think you're playing a whole lot more than I am, so I'm still finding it very, very fun.
Well, yeah,
but I don't play without you guys. So
yeah.
But anyways, you're also playing.
I'm a horror, right?
Yes. Yeah. You've also got something else here for Mass Effect 3. Why don't you tell us about the final hours?
Yeah, this is the iPad. I'm reading it on the iPad, but it's an interactive, I want to say digital magazine, I guess, or a digital article. It is available on PC, Mac, Kindle, all those various wonderful platforms. And it details the making of Mass Effect 3. And I think it's very important that people read this, because not only does it give you an insight into how games are made and how business decisions affect your games, because, like, really, like, they're making a product to make money. They're making a product for a publisher. So there's these interesting things that happen behind the scenes that you wouldn't normally read on IGN. And because really it's for the diehards that want to know this information. It's $2.99 on the iPad. I believe it's the same on PC and Mac. And it really goes from the summer of 2011, development-wise, or no, early 2011, so January, all the way up to March 2012, to the release of the game. And it details, like, Casey Hudson and how he wanted to create this trilogy, and talks about, you know, the introduction of multiplayer, how that came to be. They talk about the ending. They talk about why the Prothean DLC is there. They sort of confirm some people's suspicions about the DLC in the sense that it was cut content, but not, I can hear you getting angry. And by the gods, if you don't read this and you're going to chime off on that, like, you're part of the problem. I can tell you, it's really cool the way they explain how it happened, because it takes the time to explain why it happened and why it's not this huge controversy. Like, really what happened was they ran out of time. They had to cut content. So they cut the Prothean character. They actually cut missions specific to the character throughout the game because they were running out of time. They had to push it. The game had to come out in March. It was already delayed, you know, from November. And they go into that as well. And, you know, it just really makes you appreciate the development team and the development of this game. And I recommend all Mass Effect 3 players to pick this up and read it.
So, quick question. I might have missed it right at the beginning when you started talking about this, but you said it's $2.99.
Right.
Where do I buy it, and who am I buying it from?
Okay. That's a great question, because I probably wouldn't mention that because I already bought it and I'm selfish. You can go to Mass Effect 3 Final Hours, or we'll have a link in the show notes, but it's something like that. If you search Mass Effect 3 Final Hours, you find the link if you're trying to buy it right now. You're purchasing it from Jeff Keighley. I don't know if you know who that is.
No, so you should give me more information before I rage.
I'm working on it. Take it easy. Jeez, why don't you be quiet and drink your coffee? I'll keep talking.
Fine.
he's a journalist with G4 TV. He hosts and produces the air quote wonderful Game Awards on Spike TV. So he's not all great, but he is a wonderful writer and reporter. And
but basically what I'm getting at is this is not coming from EA, right? Like, no. I'm not giving them yet more money for this freaking franchise. This is something totally outside of them. Okay. God, well, then I'm not raging. I'm happy.
You're being very calm, but all I'll say is, God forbid you'd give people money for developing something. you, of all people, you paid for Colors in Hero Academy with your explicit reasoning being, I wanted to support the company.
Well, yeah, and I stand by that. What I'm just, you know, it's leftover DLC rage. That's all.
Yeah, I guess I can. Sorry, I can get behind that, but yeah, I got the collector's edition, so I guess I didn't.
You should have more rage than anyone.
Yeah, let's not bring that back up, I suppose.
We should move on, though, because we said we weren't going to talk about Mass Effect 3 this episode, and here we've been talking for like 10 minutes.
What did you ask before I... Oh, right.
I buy it and how much, or who am I buying it from?
The money goes towards Jeff Keighley and his team that developed this app. It involves EA and BioWare in the sense that Jeff Keighley spent time at their offices researching and reporting on the development of the game. So it gives you a behind-the-scenes look, more than you would think from these huge companies that are trying to keep these games secret, right? So it's a really cool experience.
Well, that's cool. Yeah, no, I was just wondering if it was another money grab from EA. But apparently it's not, so I'm cool with it, and I will probably go pick it up after we're done the show. So I played Psychonauts, because the fabulous Nicole Spagg from the Ladies of Leap podcast sent me a gift on Steam of what is one of her favorite games that she actually stopped playing Mass Effect 3 so she could play Psychonauts because she was so mad at Oracle, or what's it called? Origins. Whatever, that stupid service. So I was really excited to pick up this title because I've wanted to play it for a while. It's been on my wish list forever. And I didn't like it.
Uh-oh.
I know. There's probably going to be so many people that are just going to be like, what's wrong with you? I got like maybe 3/4 of the way through the first kind of tutorial thing. And I think my problem is the playing on the PC thing without the controller. I think I need to get, before I get any more of these kind of action type Steam games, I need to get a controller that I can plug right into my computer because I just find the controls so awkward. And so, yeah, I think that's why I didn't like it. But and the graphics weren't as great as I thought they would be. Well, but then again, it's... Huh?
It's old. It's like
yeah,
6 or 7 years old.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know. But, I mean, it was cool. The concept is really neat with, like, the... Which is why I was so excited to pick it up and play it. Is because you... Basically, you play this little kid dude, and you're you want to become a psychonaut, and it's all about how you go into other people's brains, and then each level is somebody's brain, and then you have to like collect their like memories and stuff like that, and it's pretty cool. It's a really cool concept. So, and I think there's a Psychonauts 2 coming out soon. Am I right?
No, that's a weird kind of thing. It's okay, Tim Schafer.
I don't think that you know how to say yes and no, dude.
No, that's because it's not a yes or no. It's not a no. It's not a yes. It's kind of like this weird story. And quickly, Tim Schafer, the developer behind, well, the main head dude behind the Double Fine, which is the developer of Psychonauts, has stated in past that they want to do a sequel, but no publisher will touch it with a 10-foot pole. Because they are an independent developer that does not have an attached publisher. So whenever they come up with a product, they have to shop it to a publisher before they put too much money into it.
Yeah.
So he says he wants to do it, but no one will pay for it. Then Notch, the guy behind Minecraft, says, hey, I'll fund it. And
oh, nice.
That kind of started this back and forth. And this was like right before the Kickstarter thing for their adventure game. So
right.
I believe Notch and Tim are still talking about it. They want to do it, but it's a huge project. He said the budget would probably have to be $17 million or more. And, I mean, Notch could probably afford that, but it's all a matter of getting that money. You know, Notch seems to be this smart dude with a lot of money, and he's not just going to throw a bunch of money at something he wants, but he does want to see it, and I'm sure we'll hear something about that in the next year.
Cool. So yeah, that was what I picked up, and I'm sure I'm gonna play it a little bit more. But with my work schedule the last couple of weeks, I haven't been gaming too much. One thing I did play was I played poker on Google Plus, and Ryan, you didn't show up, so grr.
Yeah, I was busy.
Fail.
But, I do want to try it though.
Yeah, it was interesting. It was quite a lot of fun actually. There were three of us for most of the night, and then another friend dropped in. So, you know, it was kind of the, like, general problem with poker when you don't have enough people. You know, it's always more fun when you're playing against an entire table full of people. But, yeah, it was still fun because you have the Google Hangout thing going on at the same time, so you can actually see everybody while they're making their moves, and it pops you up. Like, when it's your move, it makes your video the big one.
Mm-hmm.
So you can actually see, you know, people if they're bluffing or whatever. And it also uses the augmented reality thing. So I tweeted a picture of me wearing the crown that you get when you win and a monocle and a mustache because I am the poker queen.
I did see that.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
It made me happy. It was my good luck monocle. So yeah, it was actually a lot of fun. I think we're probably going to do it maybe once a month, and I think we'll also maybe try to integrate it into our Gamers in Game Night.
Neat.
Because everybody can play. And if you have a Google Plus account, it doesn't matter if you have a PC or a Mac, we can play together, which is exciting. So, yeah, it was good. Cool. You missed out, man. You missed out.
I know. It was just one of those nights where it's like, so busy. So busy. Weekends are weird. Sometimes you have a weekend where it's just like there's nothing going on. You can do whatever the hell you want. And then there's these other weekends where it's like one thing after another. And it's almost like I need to take Monday and Tuesday off to have a weekend. Anyways. But that's cool.
Yeah, so what else have you been playing?
All right. For interest of time, I'm going to nail these other ones out just quick. Quick fire.
I can't wait to see this.
Orcs Must Die. They announced the sequel, and I'm like, hey, I should beat that. I have all the DLC. I played it. I loved it. I haven't beat it. Boom. Shank, I got from this weird bundle deal, and I've always wanted to beat it. And I have my PC hooked up, which I will I'm going to probably save that discussion for next week, because I actually have this cool setup with my PC hooked up to my TV. But played a bit more on that. Cool game. It's very short, so I'm probably at the end almost. Plus, I have Shank 2 through PlayStation Plus, so I'm trying to beat the first one. Boom. Cinemora is a weird shooter on Xbox Live. it's sort of like Star Fox in the sense that you play as these humanized animals. So there's like this giant bison and cats, and it's very Japanese, and it's weird. I only played the demo, and it's like this weird bullet hell game where you're dodging all these bullets and you're trying to kill people, and it's all about time. So whenever you take a hit, you don't lose health. You lose 5 seconds of time. So you start with 30 seconds, and every time you beat somebody, you add to that clock. And you can also slow down time with the trigger to kind of dodge bullets better and stuff. And they use it for navigation as well. Very weird, but I recommend people check out the demo. It's a bit too pricey for me. It's like a 1,200-point game on Xbox Live. Check it out. Boom.
How much is 1200? That's about $15, isn't it?
That's $15. So in this, that's my point. Unless you're a big fan of bullet hell games or like shooting, they're weird games that they call either shmups or bullet hell. But it's basically you're a spaceship and you just shoot dudes.
Mm.
And I'm not a huge fan. So I just wanted to try it because people were talking about it. And but if you are a fan, I guess it's a very good game for that genre. But yeah, $15 is a little much. Another one I'm playing on the PC, Might and Magic Clash of Heroes. I've always been interested in this game. It's like a weird puzzle strategy hybrid in the sense that it's really hard to explain, but you know, you have these rows of dudes and you have to match. So say you match three archers, and then that sets them up to attack next turn. It's really hard to explain, but it's really cool. And the reason I picked it up is because I just went into Steam, and there was this like coupon in my inventory just randomly. So that was weird. I don't know whether people sent it to me, but I've never received a coupon like that. And I was like, well, yeah, I've been looking to buy it, so I guess I'll buy it.
Cool. And usually, if you get things sent to you by people, you get an email saying so-and-so sent you such and such. So maybe it's just I can go check my, not right now, because then the call is going to go all Skypey, but yeah, I think maybe I'll go check my inventory, and maybe it was just a general coupon from Steam. Maybe people should go check their inventories on Steam, maybe?
Maybe.
yeah, I just turned on Steam, and there was this like green icon on the top, and I guess I did some research, and people are saying that they were getting like multiple Assassin's Creed Revelation 50% off coupons, and as well as Might and Magic, and it might just be a promotion. And some people think it's a bug, but I don't think so. I think it's like it's just this weird promotion thing. And
cool.
I recommend it. But boom. And finally, Age of Empires Online is a free to play RTS MMO, it came out last summer, but it just recently launched on Steam. So I downloaded it and played a little bit more, and it's interesting. It's definitely an MMO, but it's also like this RTS. The core game is an RTS, but it's got an MMO layer in the sense that you have an inventory, you build, you have like unit upgrades, you have a talent tree. It's just really cool. I'm always looking for a strategy game that clicks with me, and very few do, so I'm always trying them.
Are you a fan of Civ 5?
I have it. I just have, yeah, that's a weird one where, I have it and played a few games and loved it and then, just never went back to it. So yeah, I have Civ 5. I want to play more.
Because that's pretty much exactly what this sounds like to me. I mean, other than the fact that... Well, no, Civ 5 has the online multiplayer thing. But it just sounds like instead of on Civ 5, you have a certain number of opponents. Whereas this sounds like you're just in one big world. And so everybody's your opponent. Right?
Yeah. But no, yeah, I haven't run into other people yet. So that's the weird MMO part is, I guess, there's this general chat in the bottom. Which is filled with like people talking and also spam bots. That's the only real MMO thing I've seen so far. But I guess there's PvP and skirmishes, but you have to pay for that.
Oh, I see. Yeah, I was looking at this too because I saw it pop up on Steam and I was thinking of picking it up. So free to play makes me happy. I shall go play it for free.
I recommend trying it. And maybe then we could actually see whether or not there is like... Because I don't know anybody else that plays it. And
right.
And I guess all the premium stuff is on sale until April 11th. So if you do like it, you can pick up... You actually pay for extra teams. It's sort of like Hero Academy. You start with the Greek. You can buy the Persians, the Spartans.
I did see there was something on Steam, and it was... I can't remember what it was called, but it was the something pack. And it was like all the premium content, and it was like $15 or something ridiculous like that.
Yeah, well... That's actually, they have the whole package for like $16, but each team is on sale now for $5.
Well, yeah, but I mean, I looked at the list and the list was long of all the teams that you got for $16. So I think if you like it, now is the time to pick up all the teams at once. I mean, basically you get all the teams for just over the price of three on sale. So, yeah. I mean... if you enjoy, I might just pick it up just to make sure I don't miss the sale, and then...
Yeah, that's why I was like, I did my best to figure out when the sale would end, so I have until the 11th to convince myself I want to play this game.
Cool.
Buying a team is sort of like just unlocking a race in WoW.
Yeah.
So, like, yeah.
Speaking of WoW, I played more WoW. I'm very much enjoying my Friday night WoW dates. We are now almost at level 20. And Joel and I have decided that we're going to play for a year because someone who is not me gets Diablo 2. No, Diablo 3. Whatever Diablo they're at now. He gets it for free if he signs up for a year. So we're going to do that. So
cool.
Yay for more WoW. I'm loving it. And we were talking about it last night. And I was saying that it's a good thing that I only play with him because we have our one night a week and we play a few hours. And if I didn't have him to control my WoW... experience, I would be playing it like all night, every night, and yeah, I'm really surprised how much I'm enjoying it. Like I thought that I wouldn't, and like I said earlier on in the show, like episode like one, I didn't think I was gonna like it, and my first experience in it, I didn't. I played for 5 minutes and put it down. So, but yeah, now I'm really, 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 really loving it. So, hooray for WoW! And that brings us to our topic of the week.
Yay.
Because we're finally done with everything we're playing because we had like 2 weeks worth of games that we had to shove into that section. So
yeah, I will say though that if this section, like what we're playing, teaches me anything, I need to pick a game and focus on it.
Gee, you think?
Yeah. It's because it's like this. It's weird. It's like you don't get to enjoy anything because you're trying to enjoy so much. But I did enjoy Journey, and I think that was my main. Push. But yeah, topic of the week.
April Fools in the game industry. So this is why we didn't do news this week, because we wanted to talk about all of the April Fools jokes that were in the news. So Ryan, first off, how do you feel about April Fools?
Okay, I like April Fools because it's... But you kind of have to turn off your believe everything, you know, you can't believe everything you read on April Fools. You have to be very skeptical. So whenever you see something as outrageous as, like a game industry or a game company announcing, you know, a new product that looks completely outrageous, but super cool, you got to be like, oh, it's April Fools. There's no way they're going to make a realistic Zelda. you know. As an example, that didn't actually happen, but I don't want to ruin any of our stories coming up. But yeah, I like it. I think a lot of people get kind of bent out of shape because these companies, they work really hard, and, you know, why not have a little fun from time to time? And some people take it way too seriously and are like, oh, these companies are wasting time. They should be developing the game and not throwing development time behind, you know, all these
stupid trailers for things that don't exist.
Yeah, but they're having fun, and
I know, I'm totally agreeing with you. I don't like April Fools in general. I find it annoying because, you know, most of the time I have 10 minutes on Twitter in the morning, I'm looking for news, I want to know what's going on, and then, you know, like, I'm running off to work or whatever, and at least it was a Sunday this year, but, I hate April Fool's so much. And it's not that I'm reading things and being like, oh my god, that's awesome, April 1st, oh, you got me. It's just, it's like, oh, that's it, that's April Fool's, that's it, like, where's the actual news? Like, come on, guys, what's actually happening? And it's just a lot to sift through, which is why I find it annoying. But there are some things that made me laugh out loud this year. Like the Mass Effect 3, or the Mass Effect cartoon that was like Mass Effect meets 80s cartoon, which I really think should actually be a thing. We will put the YouTube trailer in the show notes because it's hilarious and everyone should watch it. And I think, Ryan, you tweeted it out before we did the show, right? So
yeah, as homework, for sure. It's one of the best for April Fools, I think.
Yeah, it was really well done, which, you know, I do appreciate all the work that goes into these April Fool's jokes because, I mean, like, that took a long time. And now that I know, like, since I've been dating Joel, I've met some of his friends and they're animators. And, like, I've started to really appreciate the amount of time and work and effort that goes into even just, like, a minute-long animation clip. And so I'm like, oh, wow, good for you, IGN. Thank you for doing that for me because I really laughed.
Yeah. And, you know, most of these April Fools, especially the ones from IGN, work on multiple levels in the sense that, sure, on April Fools, it's like trying to trick you into thinking it's real, but it's also really funny and, you know, like this one especially, the Mass Effect cartoon from IGN, you know it's fake. There's no way they would make an 80s cartoon for Mass Effect 3 and have it like that.
But it would be so amazing if they did.
Oh, it would. I would watch it. I'd wake up at 8 in the morning to watch that, for sure.
Maybe it's because we grew up in the 80s, so we have a real appreciation for 80s cartoons.
Yeah, now cartoons are crappy and they try to teach you stuff.
Yeah, who wants to learn things? I want to defeat the Reapers with rock music.
Yeah. I watched it right before we recorded it again, and it's very well done, and it's very funny, and just the voices they give, like especially Commander Shepard.
Yes,
those, it's like I thought for a second they were gonna try and imitate the actual Commander Shepard, and mm-hmm. I was really happy when they gave him like classic 80s male yep. voice actor.
Yep. So another thing that was posted was the Skyrim hoodie from ThinkGeek, which was really cool. It was like the Skyrim helmet on the hoodie, and it had all the like shouts, and you pushed a button and it would make the sounds and stuff. It was awesome. And again, we're going to link to all of this stuff in the show notes. And so that kind of brings us to one of their April Fool's jokes from previous years, which was the Tauntaun sleeping bag, which actually became a thing. You can now go and order one of those on ThinkGeek's website. So what do you think about that, Ryan?
Well, actually, the other cool part about the Skyrim hoodie, I don't know if you saw, but like if you like click, either you push the chest or you just like initiate it somehow, it'll make the Fos du Ra sound.
Yeah, the shout.
Yeah, it's really cool. I don't know if you, I can't remember, did you mention that?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
You're not listening to me at all, are you?
I must have blacked it out. But I just thought that was really cool, and now I'm all embarrassed because you actually already said it. Unless you're saying that to mess with me. But anyways, I did try and add it to my cart, and it says, like, oh, we got you, April Fools. And then right before it says, hey, if you want us to make this, you know, send us an email. The more emails we get, the better chance we'll have of actually producing this. And what happened with the Tauntaun sleeping bag is a lot of people wanted it, and really the hardest part about it was getting the license from Lucasfilm, and also, I guess, figuring out whether $80 was appropriate for, you know, because I don't know if they actually made it. I think they actually do make all the products, right? And then...
I think so, like a prototype kind of thing. Yeah.
And I think one of the things in the story from Gizmodo that kind of talks about ThinkGeek saying, like, hey, you guys kind of want this. Here's a few things to keep in mind. A, we need to get the license. And B, we're not really sure it'll cost $80 to make. That was sort of just their assumption, you know, as a joke. So if they were to do the Skyrim hoodie, there's no guarantee it would be $80. But, and I don't know whether I'd actually buy it. Although it would be pretty cool to walk into Tim Hortons and be like, extra large, two cream, fast du raw. Yeah.
So there is also another oldie that made me so sad when I watched it, because it was so fantastic and I really wish it was a real thing. And it leads back to our episode with John last week. The Zelda movie trailer. Live action Zelda. Oh my god, dude. I had never seen this until you put it in the show notes. And I watched it and I was just like, I want that to be a real thing. Why is this not a real thing?
Yeah, a lot of people saw this trailer, including me, when it came out 4 years ago. And something about it, obviously, like, I believed it was true, right? And this was sort of like back in the day where, like, you weren't burned by April Fools. It was kind of like, oh, right, April 1st.
Yeah, and this is, sorry, this is another IGN trailer, right?
Yes, this was put together by IGN and a production company they partnered with. Because I remember after they announced it, they did some behind-the-scenes stuff to kind of show. It took them a year to make, because they actually have a behind-the-scenes YouTube video where they describe the process. And I believe, like, IGN tried to do this, and it took them a year to make it. And they go into a lot of the production and how they got the shots. And, you know, it's a very CG-heavy trailer as well. Like, you see a lot of, like, monsters and bosses, and the costumes are really well done. The trailer also proves how hard it would be to make a really cool looking Zelda movie, because, like, Ganondorf sort of looks weird.
I don't know, though. I mean, with all the money and everything else that goes into movies these days, like, it's one thing for IGN to say, oh, this would be really hard, but they're not a movie company, you know, and I know they partnered with one, but they don't have the kind of money that people normally throw behind movies. So I don't know. I don't really think that argument stands up. I think if somebody really wanted to make it and could get the licensing from Nintendo and could take a, like a, not a hint. What word am I looking for? Anyways, doesn't matter. If they could take what IGN did and basically, like, make it into a full length movie. I think that that would, I think that's totally doable.
Well, so. Yeah, you're right. But I think more people, like, just going back to 4 years ago when it was announced, like, people had that issue with the trailer saying, like, Ganondorf looks stupid. And it's just, and again,
I love that people pick apart a freaking April Fool's joke.
Exactly. And, like, most people are like, first of all, it's April Fool's. Second of all, like, this is a trailer put up for free for a fake movie, so, like, this isn't gonna happen, so you don't have to worry about Ganondorf looking like that. And I think the cool thing about this trailer is that I think it should give Nintendo the right idea, in the sense that if you put enough time, money, and effort into their into a movie about one of their properties, it can be done right. And I think Nintendo's been burned by the Mario movie they put out. Which,
there was a Mario movie?
You've never seen Super Mario Brothers?
No.
It's a live-action Mario movie. You should watch it.
My jaw just hit the floor, dude. Okay. There's a live-action Mario movie?
We're going to watch it, and we should, like, do a podcast about it.
Okay. Awesome.
Let's, you know, planning while we're recording, but, like, and I don't want, I'm not, I'll just go right out and say it. We should film sack that.
Nice. Fair enough. All right. So, what else, dude? Any more cool stuff you want to talk about? I've talked about everything I've read slash watched. So.
Okay. Well, I will just mention the unlock Sonic and Tails in Melee. It was an article in EGM, and again, this was before the time of the internet. This was way back, and I loved Melee on the GameCube.
Yeah, I remember that game.
Yeah. And this is one of those instances where it totally got me. And you're reading it in a magazine, so it's hard to place it. And then, like, you see... Well, I didn't notice it was an April Fool's joke until I looked it up on the internet when I got back to school. But really what it says is, if you do this super hard thing, you'll unlock Sonic and Tails in Melee. And there was this shopped image, which I thought was real, in the magazine that shows, like, Sonic and Tails, like, actually in the game. And I actually called the Nintendo hotline at home and said, hey, I read in this magazine that you could unlock Sonic and Tails. How do I do that? Is it true? And then the guy on the phone says to me, it's like, I don't know. Let me look that up. And he couldn't find any information. He's like, you know, we don't have that in our database, so I can't really tell you whether it's true or not. That might actually be true. And I'm just like... Oh, well, I guess we're going to have to try to do it. And I tried to do it with my brothers, and then we got to school and we figured out it was an April Fool's joke, and we were pretty bummed about that. But it's funny that I actually called a 1-888 number hotline to ask the dude. And
I totally bet he was just screwing with you. He's like, I got this kid on the line who thinks this is real.
Well, yeah, it's similar to those
little
kids.
Come on, guys, I'll put him on speakerphone.
It's similar to kids calling EB and being like, when's Pokemon 16 coming out? You know, I don't, you know, like kids who kind of think GameStop makes all the games.
Yeah.
Wait,
GameStop doesn't make all the games?
Yeah, they just kind of sell them, Jocelyn. But the cool thing is that Sonic did end up appearing in Brawl on the Wii. So
nice.
Happy endings for all.
Excellent. Yeah. So I think that kind of wraps up April Fool's.
But yeah, in a conclusion for April Fool's, now that we've discussed this, like, do you still think there's these cool places for April Fool's in the video game industry, or do you think it should go away?
Well, I mean, like I said, I don't really like April Fool's in general, just because it interrupts my normal day. But at the same time, like, I have enjoyed the research for this section, so I think... I just need to make time to enjoy it, and then I think it's great. Like, some of these trailers, like, I love that they've put so much time into it. It just shows how much they actually love video games. You know, like, even though they often, you know, when reporting the news, there's a negative spin to a lot of the articles and a lot of the websites, I think it's great because it kind of just shows how much we all love games, and for them to, especially, I didn't know the Zelda thing took a freaking year to make. That's dedication.
Yeah.
So... I don't think it should go away. I think it's fun. And it's one day a year, so, you know, whatever.
Yeah, and I think the best ones are the ones that are sort of believable, but, like, when you really think about it, it's like, no, there's no way that would happen. Mm-hmm. Those are the best ones, but I know some people really hate April Fool's because there's just these weird cheap shot ones. For example, I went and saw The Trues last night, and up on stage in between songs, they're like, so I guess our fans aren't big, they don't like April Fool's because on our Facebook page we announced that we were breaking up and everyone really didn't like that. And I'm just like, well, no shit. That's like one of the worst April Fool's jokes ever. It's not clever at all.
Yeah.
A better one would be like, oh, we're shifting genre to polka music and here's our first single.
Yeah.
You know, so I think you just have to be really creative and avoid the cheap shot April Fool's jokes. Those are the worst, I think.
Agreed. So that brings us to listener feedback. So we had another iTunes review in our American iTunes store. And this one comes to us from Kimberly Price of the Ladies of Leap podcast. And she says, great podcast, 5 stars. Jocelyn and Ryan have very good chemistry and they have some great insight on games and the gaming world. A must listen. So thanks very much, Kim. And also, Ryan, do you want to read the Facebook feedback we got?
Yes. Lou, Busy Zombie Lord, asked on Facebook, actually there's a comment on our Zelda episode, and he says, I love the Zelda talk. Any idea what your next topic show will be? And that's a great question, because really, I enjoyed our Zelda talk more than our Mario talk, because Mario was kind of just a look back, whereas Zelda was a more topical piece where we kind of like talked about the franchise rather than just kind of had a look back, and we kind of, you know what I mean? It was more in-depth discussion.
I agree, yes. I loved the Zelda episode. I thought, I mean, we had a great guest and the conversation was really, really good. There's a lot of good stuff that came out of it. We had, you know, some things we agreed on, some things that we didn't, and I thought it was a much, much better episode than the Mario episode, even though, like, going into it, we were kind of thinking that we should do it like the Mario episode, but I'm so glad that we didn't. It was a much better discussion the way that we set it up, so.
Yeah.
In terms of our next topic show, right? I don't know. I don't know what we're going to do.
Yeah, in the near future, who knows? But, like, just off the top of my head, like,
Halo.
We do topic shows. Like, Mass Effect 3 was another topic show I really enjoyed, and that was more, like, the Mass Effect stuff was more about, like, a, hey, the third one's coming out, let's catch up.
Well, yeah, we did two Mass Effect shows, because we did a Mass Effect show before 3 came out, and that was kind of looking back on 1 and 2. And then we did a show that was entirely Mass Effect 3, so, I mean, we could do something like that for maybe Diablo, but again, I haven't played the Diablo series.
Neither have I.
Yeah, so, well then, forget that idea.
Yeah, but again, like, we can confirm there will be something for Halo. But besides that, in the near future, hey, if you have suggestions, send them in, and then, you know, we can maybe look into them. Like, if you guys want to hear about a specific topic, the best way to do it is probably to suggest a franchise, and then maybe, like a discussion point. So, for example, with Zelda, it was discuss the Zelda franchise, but look at it as if, you know, what's it done right, what's it done wrong, and how can it become, you know,
what it should be.
Exactly. Yeah. So that's a good example of how to suggest a topic show. But yeah.
So yeah, we probably won't be having one anytime soon. But although next week we do kind of have a topic show.
That's
because
true.
We are going to be having a special guest come on, which I will talk about in the outro. But we're going to be talking about PAX East. So look forward to that. So I guess technically that's our next topic show.
Yeah. And then I guess if I hadn't really thought about that, but I guess the one after that would be E3. We're not going to have anybody at E3 as far as I know, but that would be pretty sweet. But
well, you never know. We'll have to see. If any of our listeners are going to E3, shoot us an email and maybe we'll have you on the show.
Or if you want to send one of us.
Oh, that would work too.
Yeah. I've never been to sunny Los Angeles.
So. Neither have I. So we also got an email from Val, but it was all about Mass Effect. So we're going to save it for next week, because next week we're also going to talk about the ending DLC and our thoughts on that. So if you would like to be just like Lou and Val and Kim and have your reviews or thoughts read on the show, you can leave us an iTunes review. You can email the show at info@gamersinpodcast.com. You can visit us on the web at www.gamersinpodcast.com. You can follow us on Twitter. You can find me, Jocelyn, at GISGamer, Ryan, at RMurphy, and don't forget to follow the show at The Gamers Inn. You can also find the show on Facebook at facebook.com/TheGamersInn, and we're also on Google+, so come check us out. So before we go, I just wanted to give a quick shout out and thank you to my brother Greg for creating our awesome music. You can find him on Twitter at SoundsInfluence. We would also like to thank Joel Duggan of StarCrossed Online, who drew our Twitter avatars. You can find him on Twitter at Joel Duggan or read his comic at StarCrossedOnline.com. Also, Joel is having an Easter weekend sale on cartoon avatars. If you buy 2 regular avatars, you get 10% off, or if you buy 2 premium avatars, which include things like custom backgrounds, you get 20% off. So to order, check out the store at starcrossedonline.com. In order to qualify for the discount, both your avatars have to be purchased in the same cart, and your order must be received before midnight Atlantic time on Monday, which is 11 p.m. Eastern and 8 p.m. Pacific. I thought I'd help you guys out, because math is hard. So thanks for staying at the Gamers Inn, and remember to tune in next week for our fabulous PAX East chat with our good friend and PAX attender, Lou Page, a.k.a. Busy Zombie Lord, on Twitter and in the chat.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, after all this April Fool's talk, I'm starting an online petition to have the Mass Effect cartoon blocked from production. There's no way Rex would play a keytar. I mean, he's dead. Here is another classic example of BioWare ignoring my choices again. Good night. Or, well, I guess, good afternoon.
Good afternoon! It's the morning, I haven't had my coffee yet, so just watch it.
Lay off, jeez.
GIS Gamer. But yes, there are many people who call me Jizz Gamer, which is tons of fun.
Jizz Gamer would be G-I-Z.
Yeah.
Or Zed. Sorry, Americans.
According to my calculations, we can defeat the Reapers with rock and roll, beat Cerberus in the Battle of the Bands, kill all Reapers simultaneously. Efficient.
I like that babble talk. Mass Effect, tune up!